We're going to take our Bibles and turn to Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6 this morning. We've been going through the book of Job, calling this Light in Our Darkness. We have to do something retroactively. I said a couple messages ago that I was going to give you a theme verse for each chapter. And then last week I completely forgot. I had it, I just didn't mention it. So here it is. So if you want to go back, Job chapter 5 and verse 17, the theme verse for that chapter is, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." I won't go back and re-preach all of that, but I felt like I need to give you that verse. And I'll remember this time. So we're in Job chapter 6. Job is going to speak for the next two chapters. Eliphaz spoke in Job chapter 5 and said his, or 4 and 5, and said his piece. Now Job is going to talk for two chapters. We're going to divide these up. We're going to look at just most of chapter 6 this morning, and we'll leave chapter 7 for next week. There's two different topics that he deals with. He starts with one thing, and then there's a transition in the end of chapter 6 where he's like, let's return to what we were talking about before, and then he goes on and talks about that in chapter 7. So we're going to look at Job chapter 6 this morning. It's the light of God's sufficiency is the title. We're going to read the entire chapter, Job chapter 6, starting in verse 1. "Job answered and said, Oh, that my grief were throughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass? Or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. Even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort? Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be shown from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked. The companies of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed. For now ye are nothing. Ye see my casting down and are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? Do you imagine to reprove words in the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore be content, look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you, let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again, my righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things?" Let's start with prayer. Lord, we are thankful this morning for the time that we can spend in your word. But as we begin, we want to ask that you would give us the wisdom that we need, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Work in us now, we pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Back in January of 2022, there was a major snowstorm that hit Virginia, and it dumped over a foot of snow in all of Virginia. And so we have I-95, right, that runs north and south through the eastern part of Virginia. And when the storm hit, there was a whole section of the interstate that got shut down. It just came to a standstill. There was a 50-mile stretch between Washington, D.C. and Richmond, Virginia, that was just bumper to bumper, and there was nowhere to go. The snow fell so fast. And it stayed that way with just standstill traffic for 24 hours, for a little over 24 hours. And so you imagine those drivers, right, who were like leaving D.C. and going home, or, you know, traveling north or whatever, got in their car and probably knew a storm was coming, but like, I'll make it, you know, I'll beat the storm, or I'll make it through. And what turned into what was probably going to be, you know, their normal commute, maybe an hour and a half or whatever, turned into 24 hours where you are stuck in your car. And, you know, it happens, right? You get into traffic and all of a sudden you see the brake lights in front of you and you come to a stop. And you're like, all right, I'm in traffic, but, you know, it won't be forever. But then you sit there, right? And the hours start to go by and you're like, we're not moving. You watch the snow pile up And all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to be here for a long time. And then I think you probably go into survival mode. You're like, all right, what do I have? You know, what do I have for water? What do I have for food? Because I don't know about you, I'm getting hungry. And all of a sudden you're like, what do I have? Like, where's the nearest exit? Can I see a McDonald's from here? And all of a sudden you start like thinking about what do I have? And am I gonna have to start rationing these things? How am I gonna survive this? But then there's something else, especially being in the middle of winter. You've got to stay warm. And so you're like, you've got your car that's running, that's pumping the heat, but then you start watching your gas gauge. You're like, am I going to run out of gas? And there was probably some people in that traffic who had started on their journey and they'd gotten in their car to take this trip and they looked at their gas gauge and was like, I've got just enough to make it home. I'll be fine. I'll fill up later. And how many of us have done that, right? We're like, I'll make it. You know, I'm cutting it close, but I'm pretty sure I'll make it, and then I'll go to the gas station later. I just don't want to do it now. And it's those times where, like, they hit this snowstorm, and all of a sudden they're like, I should have filled up. I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have waited. But now they're, like, trying to ration their gas, right, and turn their car on and start it. There was a lady named Mira Rao, and her and her husband were headed north on I-95, and they got stuck in this snowstorm, and she was interviewed with one of the newspapers, and she said, we had very little food. We didn't have any water with us. We weren't prepared for this. And she goes, so we sat there throughout that night, and we just cycled the car on and off. We would turn it on for a little bit, and then it would warm up, and then we would shut it off again, and the temperature would drop. And she goes, we just had to do that throughout the night, trying to stay warm and just trying to make it through. But can you imagine sitting there in that traffic and in that snowstorm and just watching the gas gauge go down and watching it slowly creep toward empty, and then you hear the ding and the light comes on. You're like, I'm going to run out. I do not have enough gas to make it through this. We've all been there, right? Racing against the gas gauge, trying to get where we need to go, hoping we have enough to make it. And, you know, most times we're fine, but it's those times where we're cutting it close. And then something happens, there's a detour, we hit traffic, there's a roadblock or something, and we look at it and go, I don't think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to run out. And you know, Job's there, because Job hit a roadblock. Job's life was going along and just, you know, going day by day, and then all of a sudden something happened. And he lost his possessions, he lost his wealth, he lost his family, he lost his health, and all of a sudden the normal way life was going changed. And all of a sudden it got a lot difficult, more difficult for Job. And all of a sudden life seemed like it was just so much longer and more exhausting for him. And we hit roadblocks all the time. And there's all different types of roadblocks that we can hit in life. Just ways that our life can be more difficult. Some of them are small and some of them are much larger. But they have the potential to make the journey just seem so much worse, right? And what looked to be easy for us all of a sudden isn't anymore. And it gets exhausting. And we look at it and go, it seems like every day is just so long, right? And there's periods of time where it just seems to stretch out. And when you're already running on empty, or when you're already cutting it close, all of a sudden you look at this and go, I can't handle this, right? I do not have what it takes to go through this. And Job, with all of this that happens, in Job chapter 6, he starts to take inventory. He starts to look at himself and go, do I have enough to make it through this? And in our theme verse, and I remembered, is verse 11 of Job chapter 6, because he asks this question. He says, what is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? He says, what's my strength that I have hope to go through this, to make it through this? What strength do I have that's going to give me any positive outlook on any of this? Do I have what it takes to keep going? Do I have what it takes to put one foot in front of the next and keep going? He says in the end of verse 11, what is my end? What future do I have to look forward to? And we can understand that with all that was taken away from Job. He goes, what future do I have? What hope that I'm going to make it out of this? And you know, there's times in our life where we can get by on our own strength. You know, if life is going fine, we can make it through on our own strength. Now, not that we should, or not that it pleases God, or not that it's going to be rewarded in heaven, but we can, right? We can do the things in life. We can make it through our daily schedule. We can go through the weeks and the months and the years. We know what we're doing. We have the emotional strength to handle the little problems of life. There's times where we look at ourselves and say, I can do it. I can make it through in my own strength. And again, that's kind of a whole other sermon to talk about the errors of that way of thinking. But sometimes we find ourselves find ourselves there. But then there's other times where life just has a way of humbling us and bringing us back to how insufficient we are. And we find ourselves asking, like Job, how am I going to make it through this? What strength do I have to face everything? In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30, it says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Even young people with all the strength and the energy of youth, you know, and they're just always moving and running around, and we're like, boy, save some of that for later. You know, you're gonna wish you saved a little bit of that for when you're older. But even they crash, right? Even they get tired, you know, and we find them passed out on the couch or something. We're like, wow, they had a hard day. Right? Even young people get exhausted, right? Even they run out of strength. And Job ran into the darkness of his own insufficiency. The darkness of his insufficiency, where in facing this trial and this roadblock of life, he had to come to the point where he said, I can't make it through. What strength do I have to get through this? He goes on in verse 12, and he asks the question, is my strength the strength of stones? Is my strength as like solid as a rock that all the winds and the waves of life can just beat upon this rock and it'll be fine. It'll stand and nothing can move and nothing can shake it. He goes, do people think I have that sort of strength? Is that who I'm supposed to be? He says, is my flesh of brass? Like the things that they would make weapons out of. Weapons they would take in a battle and just hammer on other people's swords and armor, and it just withstands all of that. He's like, is that what I'm supposed to be? Is my flesh supposed to be strong enough that I can take all the hits that life brings and just be fine and just brush it off, you know, and maybe touch it to the grindstone every once in a while, and then we're back in business. He goes, is that what I'm supposed to be? And he goes, what is my strength? He goes, I'm not rock. He goes, I'm not metal. That's not who I am. And we're not. We're not this like rock of emotions. We are not this metal that can't be hurt or can't be wounded. We are flesh and blood. We are emotional. We are human. And Job says, what am I supposed to do? Where's my strength supposed to come from? And he looked at himself and he goes, I can't do this. I am not strong enough to go through all that life has brought. And in verse 13, he says, is not my help in me? And the idea is it's not. He goes, I can't help myself. There's nothing I can do. I am insufficient. He goes, is wisdom driven quite from me? He goes, I'm not wise enough. I don't have the wisdom to handle this and to deal with this. And he comes to this because he's talked in verse 1 down through verse 10 about all that he's gone through and what's brought him to this point. In the first three verses, he says, verse 2, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sands of the sea, therefore my words are swallowed up. He just describes the unbearable weight of the grief that he's enduring. In verse 4, he even believed that it was God himself attacking him. He says, it's the arrows of the Almighty that are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. He says in verse 5, doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? He says, it's only natural to kind of express my grief and pour out my sorrow. He goes, it's like a donkey or an ox that doesn't have food, and they're gonna low, and they're gonna bray, and they're gonna make their animal noises to let people know that they are hungry, that they are suffering. And he goes, it's only natural to do that. In verse 6, he says, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? He says, the things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. He said, what I've been given to eat is, I don't like it. He goes, it does not taste great. It is like something that is unflavored. It's not been salted. There is no spices to this. He goes, it is bland. And he says in verse 7 that the things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. He goes, I would normally go, I'm not touching this. I am not eating this. And he goes, but that is what I've been given to eat. And you remember growing up when your parents made you eat things you didn't want to eat? You sat down at the table and you looked at what was put before and you're like, I don't like this. For me, it was like peas. I hated peas. I used to not like mashed potatoes. I've come around on those and those are fine. But I used to not like mashed potatoes. And like you sit down at the table and you're like, oh, not this again. I do not want to eat this. And they're like, you have to. It's good for you or whatever, you know? And you just like had to, it was what was set before you. And it was that or you starve. And so you're like, all right. Or is that, and you sat at the table forever. So you just had to eat it. And Job's like, this is what I have to eat. This is what has been put before me. He goes, I hate it. I do not want to eat this. But that is what I am being forced to eat. And, I mean, little did we know that life would continue to serve us things that we did not want to eat. We thought when we got up, grown up, you know, we could control everything, but we can't. And life serves us a lot of things that we go, I don't want to eat this. I don't want to deal with this. And so in verse 8, Job says, oh, that I might have my request and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. And Job says, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want God to destroy me and end all of this. And he says, I don't have the strength to deal with this. And he goes, who am I supposed to be? Where do I find the strength to go on? And Job says, I look around and I go, it's not in me. I am not strong enough to handle this. But then he goes on in verse 14. Because what about friends? Right? I mean, if you don't have strength, what about leaning on the people around you? What about depending upon the friends that we've got around us? Well, Job says, all right, verse 14, to him that is afflicted, pity should be shown from his friend. Right? Isn't that what we'd expect? Right? You got friends around you that would show you a little pity and a little compassion. But then he goes on in verse 14, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. Right? They're not living in the fear of God, according to Job's perspective. Verse 15, my brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away. And Job just looks around and he kind of just shakes his head almost at that. Like, these are the jokers I've got to work with. These are the people around me. He's like, are you serious? And so verse 15 down through verse 20, he really poetically describes the failings of his friends. And he describes them as like a stream that dries up when you need it most, right? So he pictures like it's in the heat. It's in the summertime. You're in the heat of the desert. You're like, man, I just want a refreshing drink. And so where would we go? We would go to a stream, right? And you go to that stream expecting water to be there. But at the hottest time is when the stream dries up. And he goes, you go there and they go to nothing, he says in verse 18, and perish. He goes, you go to the stream expecting nice cool water. And he goes, there's just dust. It's just dryness. He goes, that's all you find. He talks about in verse 19 that the troops and the companies of these different places, right? The traveling caravans, the people that would be going through this desert, they're planning their trip with the hope, verse 20, of going to these places to find water, right? In the midst of traveling through the wilderness, they're like, we're going to go this way because we can stop at this well or this stream or this brook and we'll replenish our water there. They make all their plans. They're hoping, counting on this. In verse 20, they get there and they're confounded. They're ashamed. They get there and they go, there's nothing here. There is no water. The thing that we were counting on is not there when we need it most. And Job is, at least he's poetic about it, right? Because he's looking at the guys around him going, this is who you are. I am in the time of my need. I'm looking to the people around me and I'm not finding what I want. And Job's like, I would look to my friends because I don't have the strength in myself. So I would look to my friends and try and find that. He goes, I'm just disappointed. The hope that I would have that I should find comfort or pity or encouragement from you, I'm not finding it. Now, are all friends as disappointing as Job's? Thankfully not. Thankfully not every person that you turn to in your time of need is going to be as much of a letdown as these men were to Job. And I'm thankful for our church and the support system that we have, and that we are surrounded by people who love us and are very encouraging and will be there for us and will share scripture with us. And I'm thankful for all of these people. But Even the best of friends with the best of intentions are oftentimes not enough. They are not sufficient for the things that we need. There are times where even the best of people and the smartest people around us can't say anything that'll make it better and can't give us the answers that we're looking for. There's times where there's just nothing that another person could do that's going to make it better. I mean, what were they going to say that was going to really make Job's situation that much better? They couldn't undo what was done, and there's really not that much they could do going forward. And sometimes we're there in life where we go, I'm thankful for the friends around me, but what are they really going to do? I'm thankful for all the nice words and the fact that, you know, that they say like compassionate things, but ultimately, what can they really do? And Job was there. He goes, where's my strength? He goes, I don't find it in me. He says, I look to my friends. And he goes, they are nothing but unhelpful in the worst way. And when we come to that, we face the darkness of our own insufficiency. I don't have enough. And there's nobody around me that is enough for what I'm facing. So in that darkness, where's the light? Where do we look? I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it? It's the sufficiency of God. Well, I already told you that. That's the title of the message. It's the light of God's sufficiency. That God is always sufficient. No matter how insufficient we are, no matter how insufficient our friends are, God is always sufficient. Everything we need and everything we lack, God has. He is sufficient for all things. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, I know we're talking about people who, when life brings us to that point where we really understand our insufficiency. But I want to say this is true of every single person. No matter what life tells you, you are insufficient. We are not enough to do what God wants us to do and to be who God wants us to be. It always has to come back to, I depend upon God for my sufficiency, no matter where we are in life. And so Job asks the question in verse 11, what is my strength? Scripture gives us the answer. And we find it all through Scripture. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. 2 Samuel 22:33, God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. Psalm 18:32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 28 and verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth and with my song will I praise him. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 37:39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Over and over, it tells us where our sufficiency is. Where's my strength? Not in me. It's always in God. God is my strength. He is my power. He is my rock. And Job asks, well, is my strength the strength of a rock or the strength of metal? His answer was no. And Scripture says, Psalm 62:7, in God is my salvation and my glory. He is the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. We need God's strength, and that is our sufficiency. Sometimes we need the strength of God to part the sea, you know, and to do something like that. We need God to like stop the rain or bring the rain. We need God to provide and pour out manna in the wilderness. We need God to make the walls of a city fall down or knock down a giant or something like that. Sometimes we're looking for that miracle in our life and looking for that sort of strength. But then there's other times, and I want you to go with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. Sometimes it's not that sort of strength that we're looking for, that we need. So 1 Kings chapter 19, in verse 4, this is the account of the prophet Elijah. He was one of the prophets of Israel during the kingdom period. So he was preaching to a king named Ahab, who was a very wicked king. And his wife Jezebel was just as bad as he was, if not worse, in wickedness. And there were a lot of like discouraging things there for Elijah. And so he was dealing with this time of real discouragement and depression as they were threatening to take off his head and to kill him. And so in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, it says, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He runs off into the wilderness and he came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And I think we find a real similarity with Job in the things that he says, just in that short statement. But he's not in a good spot. He's not in a good spot emotionally and mentally and even spiritually. Verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And then as he's there, God talks to him. But sometimes I look at this passage and sometimes, you know what, the strength that we need is just the strength to get out of bed. Sometimes it gets to that point and Elijah just lays down and the Lord comes to him and says, all right, arise and eat and I'm going to give you some food that's going to get you up and get you going. And sometimes that's just the strength of God, like just the strength of God to face the day. Sometimes we need the strength of God to help us have a difficult conversation and to talk to somebody about something that we don't want to confront and that we don't want to deal with. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's the strength of God to face a difficult task, the one that you've been putting off, that you don't want to have to do. And sometimes you need to, it's that strength that we need to help you deal with that thing. Sometimes it's the strength of God even just to send an email or a text or a phone call and to make that, to just that communication that we don't want to do. Sometimes it's the strength of God to make a decision where we've been putting it off. And maybe we don't know what to do. Maybe we just don't want to make that choice. Sometimes it's God giving us the strength to say yes to something or to say no to something. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we just struggle in life. And we go, I can't do this. And God says, you're right. That's my strength. And we need to depend upon God and say, Lord, you need to give me the strength to do exactly what I need to do in this situation. And where we say, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I don't have the strength to do it. God says, I do. I have that. Depend upon me and I will give you that strength. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And sometimes the strength of God looks like ability. Sometimes it looks like even like passion, right? Or like the desire to do something. Sometimes it looks like willpower. Sometimes it looks like even like peace and joy in situations. Sometimes it looks like having energy to live life or to make decisions. It looks like a lot of different things. We shouldn't limit what God can do and the ways that God can work in us. God is able to do all of that. What is my strength? Job asks. The answer is God. God is our strength. He's the one. And so we go on in Job chapter 6, because not only Job didn't just ask, what is my strength? He also asked, where are my friends? Where are my friends when I need them? And can I remind us this morning that we have a friend that's better than any other friend? Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul understood what it meant to be alone, and he mentions this a time in his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, at my first answer, and that is like a defense. He's talking about a time where he was before a Roman court and had to give an answer. So he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. But look what he says in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And Paul looked back at this time and he goes, there's a time in my life where there was nobody around. I stood there all by myself and there was no one to stand up for me or to encourage me. He goes, except for God. He says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And there are going to be times in our life where either we don't have anybody around us or the people that are around us really can't do anything to help us. But God is always there. He is always standing by us, and he is there to strengthen us, and he can do what no other friend can do. And I think about Job and looking to his friends, and I mean, what was Job looking for? It was probably words of comfort, maybe some words of wisdom, words of hope, something like that. And he didn't find what he needed from them. But you know, we sang the song this morning, Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me, Wonderful Words of Life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. What words were those? It was the Bible. It was the Word of God. It was Scripture. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, God knows exactly what you need to hear right when you need to hear it. And maybe I need to give you a little warning here. When we say that, sometimes we think that what we need to hear is like, everything is okay, right? But sometimes God knows that we need to hear things maybe more along the lines of everything's not okay, and you got to make some changes. Like, you got to do some things different. Maybe we're looking for words of reassurance and words of comfort, but God wants us to hear words of a little more convicting, you know? And maybe he needs to get to the root of some things in us before we can get to those words of comfort, right? Sometimes we go to the Word of God, and God says, all right, you need to hear this. I'm going to step on your toes a little bit, he says, and really get to the heart of some things. But he knows what we need, and he knows exactly what we need to hear. There were times where, you know, in the Psalms where David talks about God's comfort, but then there was also the time where God sent a prophet to him and had to say, you are the man. Thou art the man. You've messed up. Fix this, right? We're going to deal with this. There's times like that in our life. But the promise of Scripture is that God is going to address the needs of our heart. And earthly friends can try their best. And we have the saying that even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, right? And it's sometimes you feel like that, you know. Sometimes friends can do that. And I'm thankful for friends that that share scripture, right? Because that is really the most powerful thing. We can pray and we can share scripture as friends, and that is a good thing to do. And sometimes, you know, and sometimes God puts that on our heart, and that's exactly what we need. Sometimes it's kind of like, you know, we're almost swinging in the dark, you know, and you can blindfold a child and give them a bat and they'll hit the pinata eventually, right? Maybe they'll hit some other people on the way or, you know, knock some lamps over. But I mean, we can do that. But the best is God through the Holy Spirit. And whether or not we have friends around us who are helping us in that way, we can go to the Word of God for ourselves. And Hebrews says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it talks about the Word of God as that, like that piercing sword. And you know, in fighting in battle with their swords and fighting against armored individuals, you're looking for those weak spots, which would be the joints, the overlaps in the armor where it needed to have a joint for movement. That was the weak spot. But I can imagine you're in the heat of battle and you're just swinging your sword around. I bet it's pretty hard to like accurately poke it right into that joint because they're not standing still. They're trying to defend themselves, and yet you're trying to like get your sword into that exact spot. Yet the Bible says that's what God is able to do, to get to the point right where we need it to hit, and God will give us exactly what we need. And we've found God's word in our life to be incredibly accurate. And in those times where we go to God and say, Lord, give me what I need to hear, He'll do that. And it'll hit in ways where like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I didn't know that was what I needed. But Lord, that is exactly what I needed for this time. And God is able to do that. He's the only friend who knows exactly what to say in every single situation. He is that. And the Bible talks about it as that stream that we can go to when we're thirsty. He is the stream that never runs dry. And Job looked at his friends and when I had hope, and when I got there, nothing. It's never the case with God. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. As the word cometh down in the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The Lord says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So when Job looked around and he said, where are my friends? The best friends we have are going to be the ones that share scripture with us. But even better than that is God himself. We have no better friend than God. And he is the one who can speak exactly what we need in the deep needs of our hearts. So the darkness of our own insufficiency, it's met by the light of how sufficient God is in all things, as our strength and as the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, with what Paul was going through and the physical sufferings that he was dealing with, and even as he had asked God to take them away, God looked at him and he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That was God's answer to Paul's prayer. He said, I'll be sufficient. My grace, what I give you, will be sufficient for what you are going through. God is always sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient. You know, that includes God's grace being sufficient for the deepest need anyone has, and that is our need for a Savior. God's grace is sufficient. Your sin, our sin, has created a desperate need in our life that many people don't initially understand. But we are sinners. All of us have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. Our sin sends us to an eternity in hell when we die. And all of us are facing that. And that is the deepest need. All other needs pale in comparison to that one. Because the needs of this life, they're temporary. That need is an eternal need. The need of our soul to be saved from our sin is a need that spans all of eternity. Because we're going to go somewhere for all of eternity. And the two options are heaven and hell. And if we are sinners and in our sin, then the only place we're going to find ourselves is in hell. And that creates this incredible need. But the message of Scripture is God's grace is sufficient for that. What God has given in the form of His Son, who died on the cross in our place, bearing all of our sin, it's sufficient to wash our sins away and to forgive us and to make us right with God and to give us a home in heaven. And the Lord looks at us and says, I've given you this sufficiency. Now just trust in Jesus Christ. Put aside every other attempt to save yourself or make yourself good enough. And just trust in Jesus Christ. Faith alone saves us. God's grace is sufficient for that. And God's grace is sufficient for every other thing. If it's sufficient to save us, God can take care of every other thing. And His grace we will find continually sufficient for all that we need. Job came to a place and his life brought him to a place where he simply had no strength to keep going. He looked at himself and he goes, the gas gauge is on empty. I've got nothing left. He goes, what is my strength? I cannot keep going. And maybe you're here today and you've been watching the gas gauge of your life and it's been creeping lower and lower and you're stuck in traffic. You're like, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't know how I can continue to keep going. And the truth is, we can't. We are not sufficient for these things. We're not strong enough to make it through life. We're not sufficient for the good times. But there's a lot of times we don't understand that because we can physically make it through and we can make it through life. Whether we can make it or not, whether we understand it or not, we are not sufficient. But there's times in life where it's just our eyes are just focused on that gas gauge and we're just watching it go down and we're really brought to this understanding of how insufficient we really are and how weak we truly are. We are not sufficient, but God is. And so I wanted to leave us with this, because when we get to that place of recognizing our own insufficiency, in one sense, it's a really good place to be because it forces us to look to God. It forces us, our attention away from who we are and us trying to just bulldoze our way through life. And it makes us then turn to God. And here's what I would challenge you to do. Find some time, make some time to just spend with God in His Word. With the simple prayer, Lord, give me the scripture I need for this moment. Give me the verse. Give me the passage that I can cling to in this time for what I'm going through. Then you take your Bible and thoughtfully and prayerfully and slowly, you just start to read. And if you want a place to start, start in the Psalms. Just start in Psalm 1 and just start reading through, or anywhere you want to read. But it's you getting with God. And the Bible says, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, and there is no better teacher than the Holy Spirit. He will direct your mind and your thoughts where they need to be in Scripture. He'll point it out to you. But that's what we need to do. It's just, no matter who we are, get alone with God and say, Lord, I need you. Give me something for this time. We don't know what we're missing if we don't do this. We don't know what the strength that God can pour into your life by the Word of God, the encouragement, the hope that He can give, the joy and the peace that He can flood our hearts with if we just spent time with Him in His Word. And it's different when you go about your day in the strength of God through the Word of God. When God just picks you back up and sets you on your feet and goes, get back in there, get back in the game, get back in the fight. Go back to doing what you're supposed to do, but not in your own strength, in my strength. God says, in what I have given you and how I have strengthened you for this fight, get back in there. And we find that through the Word of God. Every morning we wake up and we go back into life and we don't know what the day holds. We look at it and maybe we think it's going to be a short trip. We're going to make it there. I can do it, right? We look at how much we've got and who we are and we're like, I can make it. And then we run into things in life and all of a sudden we realize just how insufficient we truly are. That even the young men grow weary and faint and we run out. We're never sufficient for this life. I'm not, you're not, there are no exceptions to this rule. I don't care who the person is and how well put together they might look. We are not sufficient to do what God wants us to do and be who God wants us to be. And we need to really take time with that question. What's my strength? What is my strength? Is it just me? Is that what I'm depending upon? Who I am and what I can do, excuse me, to get me through this? Or am I trusting God? Am I truly depending upon God every single day? And that is reflected in how much we pray and how much time we spend in the Word of God. That is the expression of our dependence upon God. Let's be people that aren't just trying to manage the gas gauge of our strength and make it through. Let's be people that truly trust God, that truly find our sufficiency and our strength in Him. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for your sufficiency because, Lord, we're not enough. We can't do it. We can't make it through this day without you. Lord, help us to truly trust in you. Help us to depend upon you. I pray that you would give us the strength that we need. Help us to find time to spend it in your word, to spend time with you, Lord, in prayer, and that you would give us the exact message that we need to hear. Lord, that you would provide the comfort or the conviction or the challenge or the hope or the peace or the joy that we need. And Lord, we know that you are sufficient for that task. Lord, I'm thankful that even in the darkness of our insufficiency, there's light in how sufficient you are for all that we face. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.